Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been reading an intriguing book with an even more intriguing title. The book is called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. See, I told you the title is intriguing. The book is written by Tolian Chavichan, who is not only a very insightful pastor, but the grandson of Billy Graham. Some of my words and thoughts today will reflect reading his pages, so I just thought I'd tell you that if I say anything even remotely profound today, chances are pretty good that I borrowed it from this man or from his book. The book makes the important point that we must first understand that we are born with an instinctive desire to have everything. This is what makes contentment so elusive for us sinners. We want it all. We crave everything that life has to offer. We have an insatiable yearning for more, always more. And we long for something more satisfying, higher, deeper, fuller, wiser, richer, happier than anything that we have right now. Whatever security, happiness, affirmation, meaning, or sense of purpose that we already have, it's not enough. It's never enough. We hunger for what we do not have. Now, 16 centuries ago, the church father, Saint Augustine, identified this problem. He came to understand the human condition through a deep void that he detected within his own restless soul. You see, before he became a Christian, Augustine was a restless soul, always looking for something more out of life than what he already had. And on the opening pages of his book entitled The Confessions, Augustine told the Lord, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." You see, Augustine discovered that the restlessness within his own heart could only be satisfied by a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, our human restlessness sees life and wants it all. And so we arrogantly set out thinking that we can acquire it. And yet, without Christ, there will always be something lacking in our lives. And whenever we lack faith, whenever we live apart from God's will, there will always remain this feeling of incompleteness in us, so that no matter what we are able to achieve in life or accumulate in the way of human possessions, there will be an emptiness. For sin has caused us to replace God with our own selfish concerns. And even Christians, when we begin to live only for ourselves, not only are we missing out on a relationship with God, but we are missing also everything that God can bring to our lives. Unaware that it's really God that we're missing, too often we begin to use addictions and obsessions to try to fill that God void. We obsess on things. We become addicted to different things when we begin craving things other than God. And the very real result of our obsessions and addictions is that we have a way of turning everything we touch into an idol. Why? What are we after? We are often searching for a sense of self-worth or self-identity or security or direction or significance or purpose or meaning, without realizing that all of these things are attainable only in Christ. My friends, with Christ, there is completeness. There is nothing missing. The Bible says how in Christ all things are yours. For once you have peace with God and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, you have everything, at least everything that matters. It's only as we begin to mature in faith that we come to realize this, that our soul's restless search could finally be over, because the God of grace has provided us with all things, indeed everything, in Jesus Christ our Lord. And once you figure this out, once you figure out that you have been given everything in Christ without doing anything for it, only then, with your needs already fully met in Christ, can you begin to share with the same kind of generosity that God shows to you every day. How different if you seriously believe that everything depends on you and not God. Then your resources for giving will always seem in short supply. In fact, you will hoard everything that you gain towards your own goals, and there will be nothing left to give away. But knowing God's undeserved grace in Christ changes that perspective. For if everything that you have is a gift from God, and God can give everything, then the supply is limitless. And God can replenish whatever your Christian generosity chooses to give away. This is the connection between God's grace and our generosity. Everything we have is a gift from God, including the desire to give. So you say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. Why have I never been able to connect these dots? Why hasn't God's generosity rubbed off on me? Why hasn't God's grace influenced my giving? And I would say that it's because we're born sinful, with a powerful concern for ourselves and for our own well-being that supersedes everyone else, and that this instinct is hard to overcome. Giving what is ours to others without any thought of being repaid by them, that just doesn't come naturally to us. And that's what made the extreme giving of the churches of Macedonia so unusual and unprecedented, even among the churches that Paul visited. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the apostle described how he went about to all the various churches of Asia Minor, collecting an offering for those Christians living in Jerusalem who had become impoverished under persecution. And these churches showed by their giving that they obviously appreciated the cross and relied on its grace. For they were profoundly generous, and particularly when you consider that their generosity came despite their extreme poverty. In fact, their very generous gift to these other Christians in need far exceeded even St. Paul's expectation. Paul says these Christians gave first to the Lord, that is, their regular church offering, and then above this, they gave another extremely generous offering for the relief work of the saints in Jerusalem. God had certainly graced them to give. For without God's Spirit, man is unwilling to part with that much of his income. As Paul duly notes, they gave according to their means and even beyond their means. They withheld nothing for themselves, but trusting that the Lord would later provide for them when needs arose, they gave everything they had to this church in Jerusalem. And then the apostle adds an important footnote. The abundant amount that they gave, Paul says, they gave of their own free and cheerful will. Which means Paul did not make a sales pitch to try to pry them loose from their money. But it was their own idea to give. And with grace in their hearts, they gave more than anyone would have ever expected them to give. Now, their extreme giving went against all human instinct. Most of us would be too afraid to give like this. We would fear that we would run short ourselves and we would not be able to pay our own bills if we were to give like these Christians gave. When we give, we typically give out of our surplus, a surplus of the overabundance of what we have. But there is little or no risk if you only give what is left over as your gift. These Christians in Macedonia went against this conventional wisdom of saving something back for themselves in reserve, for they all gave beyond their means. Now, the world has its own reasons for giving. Some take great pride in giving, and others find a quiet satisfaction from giving. But for Christians, it is God's generous love for us in Christ. That's what motivates grace-reliant people to give generously. And there is a very close connection between God's grace and our Christian generosity. The apostle explains this connection in these beautiful words. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Now, everything belongs to God. However, God very generously gave up everything on the cross, forfeiting his very life so that you and I would never lack for anything as we stand before God. This is what the Apostle Paul is proclaiming, that you have God's riches at Christ's expense. The cost was enormous to Jesus, but it is free completely to you. Now, if we truly believe in God's rich grace and generosity toward us in Christ, it will be reflected in how we live and in how much we give to the Lord and to others. But if we imagine that God only helps those who help themselves, then our anemic view of God will be represented by our anemic giving. The person who secretly relies upon himself instead of God will never find it easy to part with his money. He may give, but he will get something out of it, either the right to brag or the right to complain. How unlike these Macedonian Christians. These faith-filled believers actually begged Paul, begged for the opportunity to give. Yes, you heard it right. These Christians beg to have the offering plate go around a second and a third time. And being asked for money by a representative of the church obviously didn't offend them in the least. But instead, they saw this as an opportunity to confess their generous understanding of all that God had done for them in Christ. For they knew that their selfless act of giving would in some small way reflect God's own selfless act of grace in their lives. So that in this way, their giving would actually become a witness to His generous love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our limited understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.